about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Well, guess what?
It's
hammer time. Okay?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Everybody say hey! Hey! Oh! Everybody scream!
Christians don't do that, people. You're supposed to be nice, and I have really bad bug bites.
The Central African Republic is located in Central Africa.
Really?
Yeah.
There we go. All right. Good sound. Good.
Why are you the way that you are? Honestly, every time I try to do something fun or exciting, you make it not that way. I hate so much about the things that you choose to be.
I just don't know why they're such mean people.
And now, I'm embarrassed. What happened yesterday? I'm embarrassed for the Yankees, the fans, and my family. So I have to say, I'm sorry.
Our feature presentation.
That's it. That's all I'm saying.
Overtime, I heard?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Overtime.
But pretty exciting game?
Just to kind of give them a little thrill.
Really?
They didn't really need it.
No.
Yeah, it's
just
that
good.
Very informative tweet from Kevin after the game last night.
Thank you.
Really?
It said, Lakers.
Thank you.
That's all said. That was it.
I got to tell you.
That's a good use of the technology right there.
I got to tell you, my goal with Twitter is to never trip up and put something important on there. Mm-hmm. That is to make it. It's not against the tide. Just everything is worthless.
It's way with the tide.
Yeah, it's leading the tide, but everybody else is doing the same thing, but they don't know it.
And you think you've accomplished that?
Yeah.
If you're following Dave, I guess that would be the impression you'd get.
I follow Dave. I follow Travis Barker.
Mm-hmm.
And I follow Rob Dyrdek. That's it.
So Travis and Rob, you think their tweets are stupid too?
No, those are decent.
Oh, so two of the three you follow are good. The one you follow isn't, yet you say you're keeping up with the tide.
Okay, take it easy, dude. Take it easy, King of Twitter.
I've just tried to understand your mindset. That's all.
Attorney Bean.
God, I'm on cross-examination over Twitter. I think,
well, those guys, look at their lives. Look at all that they do. So they can't help but be interesting.
My life, just the opposite.
Yeah, and Dave, dear God.
And I think I said all I needed to say with that tweet. Twat. Whatever it is. Whatever you call that.
I'm pretty sure it's not twat.
That's past
I'm
tense.
I'm pretty sure. Oh. I don't think it is.
It isn't. Okay. Morning, everybody. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday. It's the 8th of Poon.
Oh, you have a boy who plays with Beaver, huh?
We are going to be taking your phone calls at 1-800-520-1067. You can call, get on the air on any topic, and get a prize. Psycho Mike did something interesting over the weekend that I want to hear about real quick. You went to something called what? The Ink and Iron? Is that what it was?
Yeah.
We were giving away tickets to that, weren't we?
Yeah, it was awesome.
Okay. Tell us about it.
It's a festival celebrating hot rods and tattoo culture.
Oh.
Hence Ink and Iron. And I saw some interesting stuff. You know, anytime you gather... Like, you have a convention of any subculture like that, you're going to see the weirdos come out. But the guy who won, the winner of the day, was a guy who had these strategic, like, chunks of skin cut out underneath his eyes. Kind of like a footballer or a baseball player would wear eye black underneath his eyes. They're big, thick cuts. And I said, hey, explain to me those. And he went to a temple in Mexico, in a real remote part of Mexico, like where they filmed Apocalypto. And these natives cut open his face with a big jagged rock.
Why? With a rock?
Yeah, like they fashioned a rock into a big
sharp
tool.
Couldn't he just
slice open his face? And it was like a ritual that was all traditional and stuff to them. And he wanted to do it just to say that he did it and be a part. Very few Americans have ever done that. And I said, "You win, buddy. You win."
Because how did he look?
Excellent. Never better.
No, but I mean,
His face with rocks.
Yeah,
how
but
do you
I mean, you look at Seal, okay, and the scars that he has from an illness, I guess. And
he got sandblasted when he was a kid.
A million times better than Seal because it was strategic. I mean, it was
right.
It was a design.
Because I don't think Seal looks that bad, to be honest. But I wonder if this guy looked like he was in a car crash or something.
No. It didn't look like that at all. It looked like a guy who had had a decorated face.
All right.
Lisa Mason.
Hmm.
But
you're even bored.
That's a bad idea.
Yeah, and it's just crazy stuff. Wow. Guys with rings in their spine.
Rings in their spine.
Yeah, that seems worse to me.
Suspension type of guys.
No. Oh God.
Pretty intense.
This was all kinds of body art then. This
all
wasn't
kinds,
just tattoos.
All kinds of body art and all kinds of cars, like lowriders, obviously, and hot rods, but like souped-up milk trucks. And,
yeah. That's what I drive, a souped-up milk truck.
Yeah, like turbocharged hearses. There was a whole section of hearses. It was pretty great.
Wow.
Did you take some pictures so we could see them?
I actually made a video with Mr. Scorsese. Lightning went
Is
with
that
me.
Right?
Oh, awesome. That should be up on krock.com sometime this week.
Fantastic.
All right, well, that's exciting.
Okay.
Time for your phone calls, 1-800-520-1067.
We're sorry. You missed first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
Now, tell me this isn't the best deal you'll get all day. Get on the air, get a prize. How about a pair of tickets to the Vans Warped Tour coming up on June 26th at the Fairplex in Pomona? We're talking about Bad Religion and the Ataris, Less Than Jake, NOFX, and many, many more. Tickets available now through Ticketmaster.com. So actual concert tickets just for a crappy phone call.
All right, let's start with Tom. Good morning, Tom.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do, baby boo?
What it do, Tom?
Hey, let's give it up for Nicholson. Come on. I mean, the man had to get out of his chair to complain about that foul just before the end of regular time.
Jack Nicholson. I've never seen him lose it like that.
Really?
He was out of his mind. I thought he was going to run out and just start killing everyone.
I thought he was going to bring out his golf club and practice his swing again.
That was the best. You don't see movie stars, that big of movie stars, lose it in real life like that very often.
Wow.
And if I understood correctly from watching the game, he was wrong, too, right? He was complaining about a foul he thought was on one player, and it wasn't. It was on a different player. It kind of went under the radar, but that it was revealed in the replay.
I got to tell you, it could be. That definitely could be. It was good to see him lose all composure. But the refs, I thought the refs last night were horrible both directions.
Oh, wow.
They would call a foul on their team, and I'd go, well, that wasn't much of a foul. Then they'd call a foul on us, and I'd go, sure didn't see that. And they'd show the replay, and just little ticky-tack stuff and a lot of weird calls, and they were just kind of bad in general.
Yeah. Imagine the pressure of those games.
Yeah.
Makes them want to not let anything go in case.
I imagine, but man, that was rough. All right, let's talk to Richard. Change sports for a second. Hi, Richard.
What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
What's going on?
Went to the Dodgers game on Saturday. Great game. And Lauren Conrad from the Hills threw out the first pitch. What the hell's up with that?
Lauren Conrad from the Hills.
Right, did she do better than Kevin?
Who's done it in the last couple of weeks, Psycho Mike?
Kim Kardashian.
Kim Kardashian, right?
Fine.
Lauren Conrad.
Not Let's fine.
See,
Whitney Port.
There you go.
Are you kidding?
Also from the Hills. What's going on?
I don't know.
Oh, it was great. Everybody was booing. Some 50-year-old lady in our section stood up and cheering. Everybody booed her. It was great. She wasn't even at the pitcher's mound. She was like 10, maybe 5 feet in front of the dirt, and she couldn't even make it to the plate.
See,
it was great.
That's crap, by the way. They got to force them to throw from the mound, no matter who you are.
They give you the celebrity kind of, you don't have to throw it quite so far. They offered me that. They offer everyone that. And I said, of course, no, are you kidding? I'm a stud. And then I threw it short of the plate.
But, I mean, honestly, though, both of you guys, you and Bean, both did pretty good. You both threw from the mound, and you both at least, got it respectively.
Got it to the catcher,
To the catcher. McConaughey also is another guy who threw for the Dodgers recently. And he went up, stepped up on the mound, and he threw a normal strike. And it's like, I understand, a lot of people didn't play baseball growing up, but they should force them to at least throw from the mound. If you can't do that, then you should have no business being out there, no matter how big a celebrity you are.
Or maybe get somebody relevant to the baseball world at all.
No, you can't do that. Come on, Lauren.
I don't understand these choices that they're making for first pitches. I mean, it seems like, especially in Los Angeles, they ought to be able to come up with 81 celebrities. You know what I mean?
And if you're not going to use a celebrity, at least honor somebody, like a teacher of the year or like some cop who just did something. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
there's
exactly.
Plenty of people in L.A. besides bad celebrities.
They did that golfing phenom the other day for the Phillies. They did some little kid that has some great stories, and then they call Lauren Conrad.
Yeah. Okay, well, that was a space filler, but all right.
Who is the guy celebrity, Mike, within the last few weeks that they threw from the middle of the distance between the plate and the pitcher's mound also? Do you remember who it was? Somebody who was way, way close to the plate.
Did he throw it underhand, too?
I'm trying to think. I know Baba Booey from Howard Stern had threw one that's like lit the world on fire.
It was the worst throw of all time.
That they're saying it might be the worst ever. And I don't know how that could be because there's been so many bad ones. But it's this may be a ceremony that they need to do away with.
No way. I love it. We need to get a listing of all of the places online where you can watch people throw out a pitch that's terrible. Because I don't remember who it was, but they threw it and they held on to it too long and it went like hit the ground like right in front of them and went right straight to the dugout.
That's what I would do.
In my opinion, the mayor of Cincinnati a couple years ago.
Maybe that's the guy.
I think that was the one.
The king of balls. Because he defied physics. I don't understand how you can throw a ball like this.
Yeah, it wasn't possible to do that.
Let's try Steve on line one. He's got his he's got a great weekend story, I think. Hi, Steve. Welcome to the Kevin Amin Show.
Hey, what's up, guys? Long-time listener, first couple times caller. I just wanted to tell you guys about a story this weekend that went along with your little guest you guys had on earlier. I went to a bachelor party. My close friend, longtime buddy from high school, is finally getting married. He's actually getting married to my ex-girlfriend, and I'm in their wedding. What the heck?
Nice.
You know? Anyways, we were at a bachelor party, and, we had some entertainment.
Right.
And he was getting drunk, having a great night, and towards the end of the evening with our entertainment we had, he had a little too much to drink and wanted to do a body shot. Well, he did the body shot off the stripper, and he puked.
Oh!
Over her.
Oh.
It was amazing. It was amazing.
Wow.
And you know what's amazing? Even better than that, this girl was awesome. She got up, and she cleaned off. My buddy went to the, because he was so embarrassed, he went to the restroom, took care of, cleaned up, took care of himself, came back out, and he says, "I'm not done yet." He does it again, and he makes it happen, and he became a hero.
So, but he didn't throw up on her again.
Not the second time, thank God.
What? The fact that she continued after that.
No kidding.
She's a trooper.
No kidding. Wow, now that's who should throw out the first pitch at a baseball game right there.
Good point.
That's what should happen. Thank
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Samantha, a stripper who got vomited on after a body shot at a bachelor party. Give it up for Samantha.
And then stayed there and continued to entertain.
Wow.
That's nutty. All right. Thank you for the calls. We do appreciate that. We have a huge show for you today. As a matter of fact, we have Breakfast with Green Day.
Yes. Woo!
Come on. How about that?
It'll be fantastic. They're going to be playing live music. We're going to have a bunch of fans there. They're going to be asking the questions. As long as they're decent questions, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk about The Hangover, which was maybe one of my favorite three movies of all time.
Oh, that's great.
Wow.
It's unbelievable. I want
to
see
it. I heard it compared to Wedding Crashers, that in terms of quality, it was as funny as
I'd say it was better than Wedding
really?
Crashers. Yeah, I would. And Bean, the guy that you love, that I wasn't...
Zach Galifianakis,
guy. I wasn't as familiar as Bean was with him. Just brilliant.
Yeah, he's
great,
he's a good one.
In every way.
That's awesome.
So anyway, we'll talk about that and perhaps stuff that you don't remember that went on in your life in Vegas. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com, talking about all the celebrities. And I don't know if you heard, but Gene Simmons is pretty much, it turns out he's got a product or two. He puts his name on a product or
a
two.
A few things.
Yeah. Now he's selling body parts. I don't know.
We used to make fun of him for selling everything. I mean, you can buy a Kiss syringe, you know? And then where does it end? Well, apparently it's not anywhere near ending yet because he literally is selling things that are coming out of his human body right now.
Yeah.
So,
I'm going to talk to him about that. Insert your own joke here. And Adam Carolla, This Week in Rage. As well. So Breakfast with the Green Day is the big thing. Now we'll take a quick break and we will come back with Ralph Showbiz Beatnik. You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ, and it is 5:52.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show, Breakfast with Green Day. In the 7 o'clock hour this morning, Ralph Garman joins us for our first look at the showbiz beat for a new week. How are you, Ralph? How was your weekend?
Oh, couldn't have been better.
Great.
Wow, what'd you do?
Not much.
Okay.
Actually, I went to a wedding on Saturday night.
Ugh.
And yeah, I enjoy the weddings, unlike Kevin and Bean.
Mm-hmm.
I have a good time at weddings, because there's an open bar.
Yep.
And there's chicks trying to look their best.
True.
And there's dancing and eating. You can see why they hate weddings. Sounds horrible, doesn't it?
Yeah. They have to put on long pants.
I
That's
know.
The problem.
Can you imagine?
Oh, dear God.
How can they suffer that indignant?
It's practically Gitmo.
So I'm there, and I'm boogieing, and I'm, you know.
Wait, you were boogieing?
Shaking my groove thang,
right.
As I want to do. And I look over, and who's behind the DJ? The wheels of steel there.
Omar Khan?
DJ Omar Khan.
You didn't even know?
How about that?
How funny.
He was just rocking the house. Place was
DJ Omar Khan.
Place was en flambe, as they say.
No one says
en
that.
En fuego.
Yeah.
Sounds like you were too, by the way.
I was pretty lit up. But it was we had a good time.
And Daddy, why does Omar have a towel on his head?
And this is unsolicited, but I have to tell you, he's done a party for me, and he was at this wedding. And if you need a DJ, he's damn good.
He really is. Oh,
he's the best. Yeah.
He really is excellent at what he does. So it was kind of fun to catch up with DJ Omar Khan. And also some other people from K-Rock here knew the groom. I knew the bride. They knew the groom. So I ran into people from work.
Just randomly.
Right at
you
this
didn't
wedding.
Know?
It was very strange.
Huh.
Yes. But it was a good time.
How about that?
I'm still recovering, so forgive me.
Excellent.
I'll try not to throw up on Green Day. How about that?
Mondays are hangover day for Ralph.
They really are.
They are. But, you know, by Wednesday, I start to feel human again. And then by Friday night, I'm ready to drink all over again. Spectacular. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, shall we? This Up continues to be quite the phenomenon for Pixar and Disney. $44.2 additional million dollars it made this weekend.
Wow.
That would be a good opening weekend for a new movie.
That would be a good total for most movies in their entire run.
You're right. But this Up, people love it, and they keep going back. Huh. It just edged out The Hangover this weekend, and its debut did very well for itself. $43.3 million.
Best movie of all time.
Made it number 2 at the box office. I did not get a chance to catch it this weekend, but I will catch up this week.
That is something like twice as much as the so-called experts expected it to make at the box office, by the way.
Well, R-rated comedies tend not to do that well because they have a limited audience just by the age restriction placed upon them.
That's one of the rare movies that is a comedy but is really laugh-out-loud funny from the first second until the end. There's not really a letdown much at all ever.
Which movie dropped out of your top 3 of all time, Kevin? Is Night of the Roxbury finally gone?
Dude, you know, I change my top 3 a lot.
But, he does.
Weekly, as a matter of fact.
But this one's going to stay there for a long time. I can guarantee you that.
Land of the Lost, bad news for Will and company. Didn't do so well in its debut. Only made a little over $19 million. Way below expectations. But it was good enough to make it number 3 at the weekend. Night at the Museum, Battle of the Smithsonian was 4th. And Star Trek was 5th. Salvation was number 6. Drag Me to Hell was number 7. Angels and Demons, My Life in Ruins. And Dance Flick rounded out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Lisa, did you go see your chick flick with John Krasinski?
No, but the reviews of it are excellent.
Wife? Well, that's all that matters.
All right.
So I will be going, and I'm going to see Hangover 2.
Hangover 2 is already out?
Wow.
How fast are they moving in Hollywood?
It's a remake. It's a reboot of the franchise. It's not even a sequel.
Hired some younger actors.
Heidi Pratt and Spencer Pratt
are dead?
Have left I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here Now again.
Well, what a surprise.
Because they were tortured by NBC, they claim.
Murder.
When they put them in that solitary confinement box.
Yeah.
Waiting for the cast to decide whether they come back or not. And by the way, Friday's or Thursday's show, whatever the last show was last week, they said, and come back Monday, and we'll tell you whether Spidey returns to the set of I'm a Celebrity.
What a surprise.
But what happened over the weekend was Heidi had to be rushed to the hospital.
Okay. What happened?
With a gastric ulcer,
apparently.
Spencer has fired his lawyers and plans to sue NBC.
Excellent.
For Here punishing them. Spencer said, while insulation, it was similar to what the prisoners were treated like at Guantanamo Bay.
Well, I'm sure he'd know.
NBC, of course, is refuting this, saying they
couldn't get out.
They gave them supplies, and in a lot of ways, they were better off than the other contestants because they were out of the elements. They didn't have to sleep in the rain and that kind of stuff. So,
well, what a surprise!
We'll wait and see what happens.
I feel like I'm in a nightmare.
Ouch!
Try let me do that again.
Rape.
There you go.
Dr. Drew has high hopes for Lindsay Lohan.
Does he?
Dr. Drew has high hopes for everyone.
Yeah.
But he told Parade magazine this weekend that he is concerned about Lilo.
Sure.
And he says something tragic might have to happen to her before she completely commits to clean living. He says he thinks that she will eventually get sober, but speculates that she may suffer a mortal wound before embracing sobriety.
Mortal wound? First of all, is opening Acoustic Christmas. But second of all, that's bad, right?
He said he even had visions of her losing a limb in some accident or something before she recognized that she had hit bottom.
He means mortal wound.
Yes, he does.
Oh, my.
He says something serious is going to have to happen to this girl in order to wake her up.
Wow.
Well, Lindsay didn't take that laying down. No, sir.
Uh-oh.
She took everything laying down.
Even height. She shot back the way any wise woman of her age would. She tweeted.
Yes, like crazy, I imagine.
Here's her tweet. I thought real doctors talked to patients in offices behind closed doors. Am I wrong? I think not. Yay.
Did she say yay?
Yay. Y-A-Y. She tweeted yay at the end of her message.
That's an odd celebration.
Oh, murder. Murder.
She's someone who needs to be behind closed doors with Dr. Drew to hear what he has to say, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Murder.
She needs it behind closed doors, in front of closed doors, out windows, through bullhorns, from passing cars. She needs to hear from everybody all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, all the doctor is saying is that she clearly needs to bottom out fast so that she can start her recovery. And she doesn't seem to ever think she's low enough to give up drinking.
Most, if not all, people who get into recovery have to bottom out. That's the process.
Right. That's everyone.
You hit the bottom. You lose all hope. And then you rebuild your life by going and getting clean and sober. That's just the process. He's not saying anything different than anybody else would do. But instead of hearing from her, I'm glad he's concerned. He may have a point. I might have to look at myself. I think not yay is her response.
Yay. Right.
Which usually you have to be on the monkey bars at a preschool in order to hear that kind of talk. So glad to see she's developing. And, of course, last night, I'll tell you guys, the big Tony Awards were last night.
Oh, were they?
Oh, yeah, the 63rd Annual Tony Awards. Big night for Billy Elliot, the musical.
Oh.
Won 10 out of the 15 categories it was nominated for, including Best Musical.
Wow.
Yeah. Congratulations to everyone involved with Billy Elliot, the musical. Congratulations to Angela Lansbury, who won her fifth Tony.
take the bell back. You're just doing that to be controversial.
I do love her sound.
But the real moment of last night's Tony Awards, which was telecast, believe it or not. They actually put this on television.
It was on TV?
Yeah. Was Poison. As I mentioned last week, they were performing Nothing But a Good Time from Rock of Ages, which is a musical which celebrates the music of hair bands of the 80s.
Right.
And lead singer for Poison, Bret Michaels, out there in front, putting on a good show. Finished his song, went to take his bows, maybe hung out there a little too long, maybe a little longer than he did in rehearsal because they were dropping a giant piece of scenery behind him.
Right.
Turned around to run back to the band, ran headfirst into the scenery, knocking himself over.
Oh, my God.
Knocked himself on his back. Right?
Just ran into like a cartoon. Just clipped the bottom of the flying in scenery and knocked his cowboy hat off and just landed on his ass.
It is one of the funniest things I've ever seen. The video is up at the Kevin and Bean page.
If you go to the front page of the Kevin and Bean section there at krock.com, you'll see Brett just taking it right in the chin from a giant flat that they're flying in from above him.
And that is awesome.
It's pretty spectacular. So now I wish I had almost watched. Today's celebrity birthdays, Dilbert cartoonist Scott Adams is 52. Oh, Dilbert. Dilbert's second only to Ziggy, I think, when it comes to making me laugh in cartoons.
You don't like him much.
Dilbert blows.
Is he Garfield bad?
Our office sure is hard to work at. Oh, my boss stole my idea. Where are my pens?
Screw you, Dilbert. Nick Rhodes of Dran Dran is 47 years old today. Juliana Margulies from ER and other feature films and TV programs is 42. Kelly Williams, who was on The Practice and now is the right-hand man of Dr. Lightman over there on Lie to Me with Tim Roth. She's great. 39 years old today. Joan Rivers celebrates her 76th birthday.
Please.
She looks great for 76. Oh, no, wait a minute. She looks like a hideous mannequin.
She's 96 if she's a day.
Jerry Stiller, comedian and dad of Ben Stiller, is 82. And Kanye West celebrates his 32nd birthday today. So go out and pick up his 58-page book of Kanye-isms that only has 3 words written on each page. It'll be well worth your money. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
So, Lakers is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
A. Right. And B, Lakers.
Okay.
Hold on.
About sums it up.
I forgot something. C, Lakers.
Lakers.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's the world famous K-Rock, and it is 23 minutes after 6 o'clock.
It's good news and bad news on the Kevin and Bean Show. The bad news is it is Monday morning and it's ridiculously early. The good news is Breakfast with Green Day coming up next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. So stick around for that. Right now, let's catch up with all the craziness going on in the world of celebrities with our friend, the biggest celebrity of them all, ladies and gentlemen, Harvey Levin from TNT.com.
I could not figure out when you were saying that whether I was the good news or the bad news.
Always the good news. Always the good news, Harvey. All right, we got some ground we got to cover with you today.
First of all, hi guys. Hi, Lisa May.
Hello, Harvey.
Hey, Harvey. How was your weekend?
It was good. I worked a lot, but the game was great. God.
Yes, it was.
Who's the guy? What's his last name? Lee, the guy with the Hannibal Lecter mask last night, who had the chance to win the game for Orlando. What do you suppose it was like for him in the locker room after the game, after blowing the chance to win the game and then losing in overtime?
Well, I mean, the weird thing was, I heard him on the radio this morning coming in, and he was saying the ball just didn't bounce our way. It's like, I don't think it's as shallow for him as that. You know?
Yeah,
he's just got, because you look, it was like it happened in slow motion. You know?
Yeah, this guy for the Orlando Magic, he's a first year player. Which is, you feel kind of bad that he's in that position, but he'll also make that, I imagine, 49 times out of 50.
Right.
And just ended up missing it. That was
I mean, really, because they were, they by all rights, I mean, that shot should have gone in.
Yes, it should have. I've never been happier that it didn't. It should have.
For folks who were watching, there's 6/10 of a second left, and it was their only shot. In fact, it all happened so fast that then Orlando gets the rebound, and the guy dunks it, but in between the miss and the make, was the buzzer, so it didn't count. So that's why it went to overtime. Anyway, very exciting stuff in the series returns. It goes to Orlando for Game 3, and I guess what is that tomorrow night, Kevin?
Tuesday.
Tomorrow night.
So I want to hear how you transition from that to autoeroticism.
Yeah, no kidding. I wonder if that guy today is trying autoeroticism.
Very good.
Harvey, how are there photos of inside David Carradine's room that are not in the hands of only the police at this point?
Well, there's a Thai newspaper that got hold of a of the photo of the body hanging. And obviously we haven't published that. And
you're not going to, right?
No.
Okay, good.
No. But it got out there. And, you know, I got to say, you know, I mean, we're not going to publish it, but there's been such a mystery about all of this. And to some extent, you know, the photo tells a lot. We talked to a couple of forensic experts about it who've seen the picture. And, you know, his hands are tied above his head. And, you know, you think, how could somebody do that to himself? But we actually did a lot of research on it yesterday, and it's very common to do that. You can do it very easily. And then, in addition to that, untying it is extremely easy. And, you know, people kind of in that world have learned how to do it with their teeth. But it's very easy to do. So they tie themselves up. And then when they're done, they untie themselves with their feet. It's got all the classic signs of, you know, not all, most of the classic signs of, you know, of some kind of an autoerotic experience that went really
bad. So that means that there wasn't necessarily a second person there.
Well, the police are saying that there was no second person. They've looked in at all of the surveillance video, and there was no second person.
The family
isn't so sure.
Can I just ask one follow-up on what you just said? How much research did you do on this yesterday?
We actually did. You know what? Because I started thinking.
But I'm saying how much research.
It wasn't like on the job research.
Okay, I'm just checking.
Did you recreate?
That's what I'm asking you.
Recreate.
All right.
Made some phone calls.
Just checking, dude. Just checking.
Well, that's very different. Calls.
But I can tell you more.
Nope.
Okay.
Well, I do. Experts.
Okay.
I do have a question, Harvey. Because let's face it, you're known in Hollywood as the guy with all the freaky sex knowledge. So
what?
He's just making that up.
Here's my question. Because forgive me for not understanding how this works. So you're trying to cut off the blood supply. You're trying to cut off the air supply, basically, to enhance the orgasm. That's the goal, right?
Right.
If you're hanging in the wardrobe as Mr. Carradine was, and again, we're talking about the late Kung Fu star that was found dead a week ago. Are you standing on a chair and you kind of lift up your legs to briefly hang yourself, and then the goal is to put your feet back on the chair so you can start breathing again when you're done? Or what's supposed to happen?
That's what I thought, but the answer is no, and I can answer that question.
Okay.
What happens is that when the person gets suspended, they get usually suspended by some kind of a bar in the closet, the room, wherever, but the bar is lower than the height of the person. So what happens is that they actually suspend themselves and they bend their legs, and theoretically then have the ability, you know, when they're finished, of just extending their legs, touching the floor, relieving the pressure. The problem is that people, when they lose blood, blood circulation, they become disoriented and weak, and sometimes the legs don't automatically extend, and that's when there's a problem.
So you black out a little bit too much to the point where you're not cognizant enough to pull yourself out of it.
That's right. Not cognizant enough to extend your legs to touch the ground to relieve the pressure, which seems consistent here.
It seems very, very stupid.
You know, I mean, there's a whole subculture involved in this thing, and it's shocking. But 1,000 people are estimated to die a year with exactly this kind of thing.
Oh, really? My God. All in Thailand?
No.
Okay.
Just
checking.
And we don't hear about it unless they're famous. I mean, the only other one I've ever heard of is Michael Hutchins from InXS, because the people who do it all the time, we don't know about it. All right, last question on this, and then we got to move on to Spidey. You mentioned that there's going to be a second autopsy of David Carradine.
Right.
And I guess not only does the family desperately want to know, not only do the police want to know, but this is really going to boil down to who gets paid in the insurance payout, right, whether it's a suicider or not.
It's a huge issue. What happens is this, that if it's a suicide, most policies will not pay out. If it's an accidental death, there are some policies that will actually pay double the amount. So there are financial consequences to this. Michael Baden, I don't know if you remember him, but he is the forensic expert who actually was very involved in the O.J. Simpson defense, who testified. He is going to be doing the autopsy probably today or tomorrow for the family. They are not convinced that this wasn't foul play. I mean, they still have a lot of questions about it. But, you know, there has been an autopsy performed. We're told that the result was, they believe it was strangulation. It was that simple.
Right. Okay.
But there'll be a second one here.
All right. Well, we'll keep an eye on that. This is Harvey Levin on the phone from TMZ.com. Briefly, let's talk about Spidey. They are on or off I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, and what the hell is going on with any potential lawsuits?
Well, I am telling you, this is actually a great story. They are off, not coming back, and this time it's real.
Until tomorrow.
Well, I got to tell you, this one, unless we're being totally used, they are off, and NBC hates them, and Heidi and Spencer hate NBC right back. Spencer is threatening to sue NBC. He's been saying that the torture that NBC inflicted on them is akin to Guantanamo Bay.
Yes, which gave me the idea. We should send them to Guantanamo Bay so they could compare.
Good idea.
That's a great idea.
Harvey, what did I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here make them do?
Well, he says that they were in isolation for a day with only water, rice, and beans. And as a result, Heidi got some kind of an ulcer condition that forced them to take her to the hospital.
In one day.
You don't get an ulcer in a day.
No, but wait a minute. The NBC is saying that... You got to be kidding! They were in a hotel. Everybody else was in a rainforest. That Heidi and Spencer quit before the hunger strike or whatever it was, and they say this is all completely made up. That they say he's delusional. He is saying he is literally pulling out every gun he can and is going to sue everybody under the sun.
You know what's hilarious is, A, you signed up to be on this show where you knew it wasn't going to be Lap of Luxury. B, water, rice, and beans is more than billions of people around the world have every day to live.
That's what's so unbelievable about it. Yeah. You're so right.
You're lucky if you have clean water in most places in the world.
But if you expect anything less than this from Spencer and Heidi, it's your fault. That's on you.
But on the other side, one of the great things is that they were saying that there were, Heidi and Spencer were saying, and it was just infested with rodents and everything else. So NBC's position, NBC comes out with something, and we get it from them yesterday, and they're saying there were not an excessive number of critters, just the normal amount in Costa Rica.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
All right. Well, I sure wish it had been them in the hotel in Thailand instead of David Carradine. I'll tell you that.
That's true.
But we'll keep an eye on this one. And by the way, before you go, Harvey, there's no way to ever talk you out of putting stars on boobs. You still insist on doing that when new Britney photos come up. Come on, Harvey.
Oh, so it's from a photo shoot for her album in 2007. So we're not going to.
Right.
Okay, guys. You know, what can I say to you? You know.
We appreciate boobies more than you do. That's all.
I know who you are.
All right. All right. Harvey Levin, TMZ.com. Check your local listings for the TMZ television show. You're the best, Harv. Thanks for coming on today.
Bye, Harvey.
Bye, Benjamin.
All right. 641. What's going on with our friend Gene Simmons from KISS? What's his latest deal?
Well, I don't know if you watched his A&E reality show, which is great.
It is good.
It did come back. I know it came back last night on A&E. Yep. I've not seen the new episode for the new season yet, but it is a good show.
He had kidney stones. And I don't know if you're aware of what kidney stones are, but they are just basically, I think, buildups of calcium or something into kind of like a little ball. And it's so supposed to be super painful.
Yeah.
And you either blast it apart with a laser or it comes out naturally.
It works its way out.
And I got to tell you, from what I've heard, it's one of the most painful things in this world.
Yeah.
I don't know, but that's what they're saying. So according to this report that we have, he is auctioning off, or did auction off, his recently passed kidney stone for charity.
Okay.
Now, according to the report, it was on eBay. Now, I don't think eBay sells body parts or whatever.
And there would be a body part.
Usually, they are pretty sensitive about that. And they know. But according to this report, it was sold on eBay for $15,000 for charity.
Well, I mean, if you're a huge KISS fan, it is pretty much the ultimate one-of-a-kind KISS collectible.
I guess.
I mean, not for me. I wouldn't want to own it, but I can see the mindset of no other KISS fan in the world has this cool item that came right out of Gene Simmons' body.
And when you say cool item, you don't mean cool. By the way, that person is also going to spend the entire time going, hey, you know what this is? What? It's a kidney stone from Gene Simmons. Yeah, right. No, I'm serious. I paid $15,000. Oh, yeah, right. No one would ever believe him.
Well, let's find out more on the story because we've got the demon himself on the phone from the great KISS. Gene Simmons joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Gene.
Good morning, Kevin, Bean, and of course, Lisa May.
Hi, yeah. Gene.
By the way, Gene, we don't have time in this phone call either, but we would like to talk about the there was a K-Rock listener named Kevin who sent us a picture of you in a urinal.
Oh, that's correct.
A talking urinal cake.
New products you can get at www.kissarmy.com.
Yeah.
A KISS urinal cake, exactly. I've been around while people have been taking their pants off for years now. Why wouldn't I continue that in the bathroom?
Now, the story here, though, is that you're selling your kidney stone.
This is true.
That's not true.
No, it's very true. I figured that there's many KISS fans out there who are rabid for KISS and everything having to do with KISS, merchandise as well. Why wouldn't they want this? Americans, in particular, are becoming very squeamish when it has anything to do with body fluids or body parts.
You think?
If you study Greek mythology, as you know I do, there's stories of thousands of women lining up around mountains just to get a piece of Dionysus's phlegm or mucus. I see myself in a very similar way. Or why wouldn't people who worship me want to take a piece of me in its organic state and keep it with them forever?
Okay.
But, well, because it's kind of, I mean, it's kind of icky. I mean, it's the kind of thing that really is medical waste and ought to be thrown away.
Isn't it?
What?
No, it's not.
It is icky.
It's beautiful. And it's the way that God made me. It's unfortunate that I had to pass that kidney stone. But at the bottom line is, it's flesh. It's part of me, Gene Simmons, in its organic state. And it's just one of many things that I've been auctioning off or developing to help appease our fans and keep more of the KISS Army with them.
You have made a career out of selling millions of items that nobody else would think of.
We are developing right now the KISS video game. We know that gaming is a huge, huge part of culture.
All right.
And right now we're developing a game that should be out in fall of 2009. That's fantastic. And in fact, I think I'm going to send over a copy, copy to K-Rock for you guys to play.
Great.
It's called Face Invaders. Lisa May?
Nope.
Speaking of Face Invaders.
Nope.
I was wondering if I could invade yours.
Oh, come on, Gene. That's not what this is about. We're talking about stuff you're selling.
A KISS tattoo parlor will be opening up in Kansas City.
A tattoo parlor. Okay.
Yes. Anything you could possibly want in body art and decoration is handled there at the KISS tattoo parlor. Lisa May, I happen to be a tattoo artist myself.
Right.
Sure you are, Gene.
But I only work with one color, and it's creamy white.
Oh,
okay.
God.
You know, wow. We don't have you on so you can hit on Lisa.
The KISS. Okay. Luggage shop. Oh, I'm not hitting on Lisa. I'm simply stating this is some of the things that I'm developing.
Okay.
The KISS luggage shop is opening up in Paris.
Luggage shop. Okay.
Yes. The KISS luggage. All the finest things you can want in luggage. We only use Argentinian cattle, which is considered to be the finest in the world, to make some of the great KISS luggage that you might see at www.kissarmy.com. Mm-hmm. Lisa, speaking of luggage, can I take a look at your flesh wallet?
Oh God, I had no idea where he was going with that.
I wish
neither did he.
Wow.
Because the Kiss Flower Shop is actually opening up locally.
I already know where you're going with that.
There's not a Kiss Flower Shop.
Yeah, that's true. Kiss Flower Shop is in Huntington Beach, California. It'll be opening up later this year.
Can I guess?
And our first special. You know what? Go ahead, Kevin. I'd like to hear your take on this.
Some kind of take your flower joke.
Wow.
Is that it?
Good one. Why don't you do this?
I'm just asking.
You're excellent.
I'm just saying.
I was going with petals myself.
We have a website. We have a special.
Uh-huh.
Right now, $4.99 for 18 tulips. Lisa May, speaking of tulips.
Oh, wow. I did not see that coming.
See, that's why I do the bit.
That's correct. Sorry.
King.
All right. Listen, Gene, we'd love to talk about this all day.
You don't want to talk about the Kiss Donut Shop?
Nope.
A lot of glazing going on.
I bet there is. All right. We are just a few minutes away from the start of our Breakfast with Green Day. And by the way, tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show, we announce the next big Kevin and Bean breakfast, the next big band, small place, you ask the question. So if you think we're done after Green Day today, you are wrong. But that is on the way. Right now, Ralph Garman joins us for the Showbiz Beat for Monday morning. What's going on, Ralph?
Someone talking to me?
What the
hell? I'm hearing stuff in my headphones.
I did, too. That was weird.
That was,
place is haunted.
That was Psycho Mike.
Oh, Psycho Mike screwed something up?
He had the wrong CD.
What? Happy Monday. Happy Monday, everybody.
Yeah.
That's all you got to know.
And cute.
If Mike screwed up, it must be the Kevin and Bean show. We must be on the air. That's how I can tell we're on the air.
Oh, California has so disappointed us today.
Well,
yeah, it's true.
So true.
Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office as we do every Monday morning. Up. Sure is aptly named. You know what I'm saying?
Don't look like,
yeah,
like somebody's going to go, wow, that was good.
I'm just saying. Yeah. It's doing real well.
It is doing well.
It's $44.2 million to the better today after an exceptional weekend. People love old people and flying houses. I've always said that.
Is this its third weekend?
Second. Yeah, second.
$44 million.
Number one at the box office this weekend, just ahead of Hangover, which in its debut made $43.3 million.
My new favorite movie of all time.
Kevin, Kevin has a short attention span. Whatever he sees, if he likes it, becomes suddenly his favorite movie
of all
time.
But I will see this movie 50 to 100 times in my lifetime.
Will you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe see it half as much, and then Netflix something like, I don't know, Maltese Falcon or Casablanca or...
I don't even know what that is.
Citizen Kane. I'm just saying, make some room in your movie-going experiences for some classics maybe you haven't caught up with yet.
No.
Okay. Land of the Lost, in its debut, did well less than anticipated. Made $19.5 million
in
making
it
number three. This is a movie that cost over $100 million to make. So, not exactly the return they were hoping for. I don't understand it. It seemed like a funny premise, and he's a funny guy, and I enjoyed the hell of it. I don't know what kept people out of the theater.
Do you think The Hangover took some of its...
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. Sure, they're definitely sharing an audience, and it looked like people wanted to see that more than they wanted to see Will fight dinosaurs.
And you know what's scary about this one, too, Ralph, and tell me if I'm dead wrong on this, is I don't know that Land of the Lost has much international appeal for an opportunity to make up the money around the world that it's not making in the U.S.
Is Land of the Lost a big show? No, but Will is. Will's a big star overseas as well, so hopefully it'll make up some money. It'll recoup it in DVDs, I'm sure, in the ancillary markets, as they say. So.
Why are you bad, America?
I ain't a Night at the Museum. Came in at number four. Star Trek was five. Terminator Salvation came in at number six. Drag Me to Hell, Angels and Demons, My Life in Ruins, and Dance Flick, rounding out your top ten at the box office this weekend. Remember the story I did a few weeks ago about the girl who was furious that James Franco, movie star, was going to be the commencement speaker at UCLA's graduation?
Oh,
yeah.
She was incensed. How dare they have someone like him come and talk to us when they should have someone... with who has accomplished more, and I don't care if he's a UCLA grad, that he should blah, blah, blah.
She started this whole Facebook group, and he was all fighting it. Yeah.
Well, she got her wish. James Franco is no longer the commencement speaker.
Really?
At UCLA.
Did he withdraw?
He withdrew, yes.
Yeah.
So a bunch of other students were started a new Facebook page trying to get Conan O'Brien to show up to be their commencement speaker, which I don't really see the difference, showbiz versus showbiz.
Right.
Only one guy actually went to UCLA, the other one didn't. However, that did not succeed. The school has asked Brad Delson of Linkin Park to deliver the keynote statement. Well, thank God.
Hey!
Thank God James Franco's out, but Brad Delson will now be giving words of wisdom to the graduates, most of which I'm sure will go on to form their own rock bands. So he can give them a lot of advice on how to succeed in that milieu.
That dude is funny.
Funny guy. He's don't get me wrong. I'm just saying.
No, I hear you.
If you're talking about James Franco and then Conan O'Brien and Brad Delson, what is your line of demarcation, really? What is the deciding process on who gets to speak graduation? But anyway, Brad is going to be speaking at UCLA, so.
I guess there's a lot of competition this time of year for speakers, and there are thousands of schools that want them.
So, right.
Slim Pickens at this point, I guess.
Slim Pickens is going to give a speech?
Maybe he is.
What? Britney Spears' new body may not all be attributed to diet and exercise. Hard to believe.
Really?
But there's a story going around that she went the easy and expensive route to her new body. National Enquirer claims they have evidence that Britney spent a ton of cash on her new body to get ready for her new tour. She had a mini tummy tuck, they claim, breast lifts, facial peels, soy injections to dissolve her cellulite, a $6,000 a month trainer to come into her home, in which she built a state-of-the-art gym.
Wow.
The grand total for the total reboot of her body is rumored to be $350,000.
I'm hot.
Wow.
To get her ready and in shape to be out there on the stage.
It'd be worth every dime because she's raking in the money on this tour.
That's true. Seems like a lot of work, though.
Yeah.
It does.
I don't know if I want anybody injecting soy into me.
Really? It's a hell of a drop, isn't it?
Wow.
It's her laughing.
Did you save that one? That was one of the ones you had to save?
Yep.
And we know that's Britney Spears laughing.
That's not the part that you cut out when you were creating another drop?
I have that.
That's better.
That's better, yeah.
That's much better. Right. Heather Graham is great.
Yep.
Yes, she is.
Not only is she just sexy as hell, not only she would just bone anybody to get her career further along, and not only is she play a stripper in The Hangover.
Giant size cans.
But she also reveals now that she's a witch.
She's a witch?
Yep. She's got a group of girlfriends that call themselves the Goddesses, and they pray to the elements of earth, wind, air, and fire.
That's a drinking group is what that is.
I used to pray to earth, wind, and fire, but that was back in the day when I was following around on tour. She says the experience has been amazing, empowering, and fruitful. She and her goddesses cast a spell requesting the election of Barack Obama. So we have her to thank, her and her fellow witches.
What happened?
Wow, I didn't realize that.
Heather says the worship also nabbed herself a great man, and a buddy of hers got a new apartment out of their rituals.
Wow.
So it's very useful, this whole witchcraft.
Okay, if she really could cast spells, wouldn't she be a much, much bigger star? Wouldn't
How
she be in
dare
bigger
you,
movies?
How
I'm just saying,
dare
she's
you?
Kind of under the radar a little bit. How Very once in a while, she'll get in a good movie like The Hangover, but let's face it, it hadn't been going great for her.
Okay, that needs to go away.
No! Yeah. So
cute! I am playing off you and your lame-ass drop of Britney Spears laughing. You're getting played off by the keyboard cat. Sorry, I have no choice. I went out with a witch once. She was great in bed. I bet Heather Graham's just crazy in bed.
Really?
Just crazy, nutty, just nasty, crazy,
nutty. Things go poorly, then they put a curse on you? And
you wake up with a little voodoo doll next to you on the pillow. But other than that, there's no downside. Huh? And the late, great David Carradine truly was a master of kung fu. He just didn't play it on TV. In fact, according to an interview in 2003's Uncut magazine, David said that he and a fellow kung fu master went over to Bob Dylan's house and taught Bob the basics of kung fu.
What?
Apparently Bob loves the martial arts.
He does. He loves to box.
He does. In fact, he boxes quite often and even sparred with Quentin Tarantino.
You're talking about 20 years ago.
When David Carradine was making Kill Bill with Quentin. Quentin came over to the house and they strapped on the gloves and went into the ring for a few rounds.
This is 30 years ago, though.
You know what? Bob Dylan could kick your ass.
Today?
Yeah, today.
I think not.
Right now, today.
I think not.
Well, let's get it on.
You know, some people, Kevin, in their 60s still exercise,
yeah,
right?
Look at him.
You know that,
there's
right?
No way.
What? He looks like he's in good shape. He's not a frail old man.
He looks like a top bantamweight.
Yes, he does. That's what he looks like.
Top flyweight. There's Bob now. From Bob's new single. Right there. And another one. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Watch this.
Yeah. Look at him. Look at him go.
Oh, what was that?
It was a tire iron. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now, this is Bob Dylan and Quentin Tarantino we're listening to?
No, this was Bob Dylan taking on Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
Wow.
Kicked all three of their asses.
Took them all out.
That's right. He don't have to
I
was
I wrong. Just found the tape of him with David Carradine, if you guys want to hear some of that. I thought...
To let you know, we have the Breakfast with Dream Day coming up. I'm just saying.
We want to move things along.
I think we did it. I think we understand.
Huh? There are sound effects of people fighting here in the building. I think we've established that fact.
All right.
All right, moving on, shall we? Today's celebrity birthdays, cartoonist Scott Adams, who gave us Dilbert. I wish he'd take it back.
Huh?
He is 52 years old today. Comedian Joan Rivers celebrates her 76th birthday. Keenan Ivory Wayans. He of the legendary Wayans brothers, who gave us not just hot chicks, but white girls and little baby men, whatever that movie was.
That was it.
Dance baby flick, man. All of those things. He's 51. Nick Rhodes of Dran Dran is 47. Juliana Margulies celebrates her 42nd birthday. Kelly Williams from Lie to Me is 39. Kanye West celebrates his 32nd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman, and I walk the showbiz beat.
First, we have time to squeeze in a few phone calls about hangovers. And I'm not just talking about the hangover where you wake up in the morning and you remember where you were the night before and your head hurts. I'm talking about the hangovers like the ones in the movie The Hangover. You wake up and you have no idea where you are, what you did, or how you got there.
In the movie, of course, you've seen in the trailer, there's a tiger in their bathroom and there's a baby in the closet. And
that's happened to all of us.
And that's how the movie starts. And then they try desperately to figure out how they could have possibly gotten there. And the dude who's the groom, Doug, is missing and they can't find him for most of the movie. And they can't figure out why or where he is or anything.
Oh, my God. Now, I've never had that's a blackout, isn't it?
Pretty much, yeah.
I've never had that. That's got to be really scary.
For an entire night. And here's
all of them.
Here's one of the scenes. That maybe you've heard, and then give us a call at 1-800-520-1067 if this has happened to you and you ended up in a strange situation and you had no idea how you got there.
All right, what's the last thing we remember doing last night?
Well, the first thing was we were on the roof and we were having those shots of Jaeger.
And then we had dinner at the Palm, right?
That's right. And then we played craps at the Hard Rock, and I think Doug was there.
That sounds right. No. He definitely was.
What is this?
Oh, my God.
That is my tooth. Why do you have that?
So that was the beginning of them trying to figure out what could have possibly happened in the last 12 hours.
I've never been in this situation either, but I just can imagine how tough that would be in your mind. It's already foggy and you're just, all right, what's the last thing you remember? Okay, where did we go after that? Who did we run into? What did we do?
And you're
trying
to
piece
it
together. Right. Yeah. I mean, we were talking about this with the guys from the Hangover movie that we're in. And, Kevin, you were telling a story about a guy that we know, our boss, who woke up in a kind of a similar situation in Vegas, right?
Yeah, he was laying out in front of Caesar's Palace in the sun next to the fountain. And the sun woke him up, and he tried to figure out where he was. And then he checked his wallet, and he had a bunch of receipts for cash that had been taken out of an ATM. Mm-hmm. And then he checked his pockets and had none of it.
Wow.
No cash. So he has very little memory of what happened. And that's nothing compared to this movie. This movie.
You wake up, though, outside, and you have no idea why you're there, who dropped you off there, what you were doing before, where all the money went. I mean, it's just crazy.
Mike, in your bad party days.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't you end up in Long Beach or someplace in a whole different city?
I've done this many a time, unfortunately, where I completely forgot everything the night before and ended up places I don't recognize.
Didn't you do it in Europe?
Lisa May, when I was in Paris, I woke up in a hotel that I wasn't staying in. I have no idea how I got to this hotel. I'd never been there before. In the hallway, passed out with just my boxers on, and they were soiled.
Oh, wow.
Now you had a night.
Yeah.
Wow.
Did you ever piece it together? Did you have friends you could call and find out what happened?
Okay, so somehow I made it back to the place where I was staying.
Yeah.
And super embarrassed, obviously.
Which is tricky.
I'm in just boxers, and I have to walk with my back to the wall. And I got it, and my clothes, my wallet, my passport, and my keys to my room were all on the bed, like, laid out.
Really?
So at some point in the night, I came back with someone, I assume, took my clothes off, and then decided to leave.
Wow.
Okay.
Oh. That is
fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
That's why you got cleaned up.
That's a great story, though.
That kind of thing does tend to happen before you decide that perhaps this lifestyle is not for you.
Uh-huh.
And Mike is now sober because of some of those incidents.
Yep. Yeah, we're not saying you hope to never be so drunk that you wake up with no memory of what you did the night before. We're not suggesting that that's what you ought to do, but it does happen, and that's what we want to hear about. Let's try Heath on line 8, please. 1-800-520-1067. You have the kind of hangover the guys in the movie had. That's what we want to hear about. Hi, Heath. You're on the Kevin and Bean Show.
How are you doing today?
What did you discover when you woke up?
I was actually laid back in a bush, and the sprinklers came on. The sprinklers were actually what woke me up.
Okay.
So I didn't know where I was, and I did hail a taxi in L.A., which is almost impossible.
Right.
But I reached my pocket. I didn't have a credit card, but I did have a photo of me and some woman in my pocket.
Oh, good.
a Polaroid.
Great.
Oh. But I have no clue how I got there. The only thing I remember is going out to the bar, having one drink, and that's it.
Did you ever piece it together?
No.
Never did.
It sounds like it was spiked or something.
I called every bar I could possibly think of in L.A. to look for my credit card. No charges ever showed up on the credit card. Huh. Canceled the credit card, and nothing came out of it.
Wow.
Isn't that wild? So was that a bottoming out for you, Heath? Did it ever happen again?
Oh, of course.
Wait, of course it was a bottoming out, or of course it happened again?
Of course it happened again.
That's my man.
It's happening right now.
Well done. Sounds like it.
Thank you. All right, we'll take a break. We need to come back. We're about 15 minutes away from our breakfast with Green Day. A few more calls at 1-800-520-1067 just before that. All right, you know how that is. Listen, seriously. We got to get to these calls, then we got to go do breakfast with Green Day. We've got a lot on our plate today. It's the world-famous K-Rock at 729.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show, Breakfast with Green Day, minutes away. Token Indian listener Anil writes in, yeah, I blacked out lots of times. The best part is when your friends are trying to explain to you the next morning what the ridiculous things are you did the night before. Oh, and by the way, the first 11 times I blacked out, I woke up naked. So that's our guy right there. That's the guy we want to have on our team. Let's start with Jared. He's on line 7, talking about, like the movie The Hangover, you wake up the next morning, you have no idea what you did the night before. Hi, Jared. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, how's it going?
Good, thanks.
So I started drinking at Hollywood Park in L.A., betting on horses.
Right.
And that's when everything went fuzzy. I ended up waking up in Las Vegas using one of those sand rakes at the golf course as a pole vaulting over the sprinklers.
Okay, that sounds like you're making all of it up.
So you don't remember deciding to go, getting out there, finding a place to stay, none of that?
One, we didn't have a place to stay.
Okay, good.
The point is, you got from Los Angeles to Las Vegas with no memory of the trip.
No memory of the trip.
All right. And you quit drinking at that point?
No.
That's my man.
By the way, if there's one thing I learned from that reality show, that Southwest Airlines reality show, they don't even let you on a plane if you're that drunk, right?
Well, usually, yeah, but, you know, maybe...
So, I don't know. I don't know what he did. Yes, Ralph Garvin.
When I was in college, I was playing a gig at a house party off campus with the band that I was in. I was playing drums at the time.
Right.
And I was sitting behind the set of drums, and someone had given me a bottle of mezcal, which is like tequila. And
Full bottle?
Yes. And I was taking swigs of it as the gig was going along.
Mm-hmm.
And I stopped remembering the party about into our third set. And the next morning, I woke up freezing cold, and I woke up realizing that I was on the roof of the house where we had played, wrapped naked, wrapped only in a sheet, still clutching both of my drumsticks. All I had was my drumsticks and a sheet, and I was nude on the roof of the house, and I have no idea how I got there, and no one seems to remember seeing me after we stopped playing till the next morning.
But that's a true drummer that does not let go of the drumsticks.
For some reason, it was very important for me to hold on to those and lose my clothing at some point in the evening.
That's perfect. And you quit drinking after that?
Yeah. Never touched a drop since.
That's not true.
So it could have been John Bonham, Keith Moon, Ralph Garman. It could have been the 1-2-3 punch.
I could have gone down in history. Yeah, wow. If I just rolled more feet off the edge of the roof, and everything would have been copacetic.
All right. We got Breakfast with Green Day minutes away. That's a great story, Ralph. Let's try line 6. Let's hear from Leslie and find out what's going on with her. Hey, Les, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi.
Do you go by Les, usually?
No, I don't.
Well, when you hear this story, you'll know why I said that.
All right, go ahead.
Well, actually, I had gotten really drunk, and I brought home a guy. And I guess in the middle of the night,
ahead.
All right. I got up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom and got back in the wrong bed and woke up naked in my roommate's bed with her in it.
There we
and
go.
She didn't know I was there.
Okay. When you woke up, was she already awake or did you sneak out
no,
so she never
I
knew?
I woke up and then realized that I was in the bed with the wrong body.
Can we call her?
No.
No. All right. Just trying. All right. Thank you for the call. She didn't stop drinking then either, by the way.
No,
but
that's awesome that she woke up naked in her female roommate's bed, though. That's my kind of story.
All right. Let's go to Danny. Thanks, Les. Who I think may have the story to top them all. Hi, Danny.
Hey, what's up?
You we're talking about the movie The Hangover. They're in Vegas, and they completely can't figure out what happened last night. Did that happen to you?
Yeah. Yeah, I was in the military years ago, and went out drinking with a bunch of friends, and we had a great time. I was mixing my drinks. No, I shouldn't.
Yeah.
I did.
Mm-hmm.
And, next morning, I woke up, looked around. It was a hotel room. I didn't really realize it. Then I hear, "Morning, baby." And
Wait, you heard somebody say, "Good morning, baby"?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I looked over to my left, and there she was.
Okay.
It was a tranny.
Mm.
It was a tranny.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Hey, good morning, Danny. Last night was great. Really enjoyed it. Thanks a lot. Gotta go.
Yeah, it's even worse when you find that her junk is bigger than yours.
Oh, that is disappointing.
Did you figure out ever what you and the tranny ended up doing the night before or anything like that? Or do you not want to know?
I'm guessing he didn't ask.
I didn't want to know.
Yeah.
That was probably
nice. Yeah, that's the kind of thing where you just go, I'm just going to take for granted nothing happened, and I'm going to move along.
Yeah, exactly. I was just being a good Samaritan and let the kid find a place to stay. That's all I was doing.
Right.
Danny, we're not even going to bother asking you if you quit drinking, because clearly, from talking to you on the phone, you have not. But thank you for the call on that. We appreciate it.
All right, now.
Thank you. That's what I like about all these stories, is that this was not rock bottom.
No, yep, exactly. Not for one of them.
All right, well, we need to take a break. Thank
it's
you
such
for-
a shame because we could go all day with this. Wait, maybe we'll have to do this again another time because the stories that people have are just blowing my mind. I'm feeling a little bit tipsy just from seeing what's on the screen here.
Bring me my breakfast.
It's Kevin and Bean's Breakfast with Green Day.
Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Green Day.
Boys, how are you?
Good morning. Top of the morning to you.
That's a nice greeting. You got some hardcore Green Day fans here. Let me tell you about that. We were talking right before you came out. This dude has seen you 38 times in concert.
Yeah, I've seen that bastard.
What's that about?
Don't you think that's a little bit selfish?
Are you the 36?
Yeah, 38 here, 36 there. I mean, at that point, don't you make sure they can't get into the next one? Don't you just say, spread it around, come on?
Yeah, give your tickets to your sister or something. I'm just kidding.
Well, anyway, it's great to see you guys. I know you have been very, very busy. It seems like you've been on the road already for months ahead of 21st Century Breakdown coming out, and the tour hasn't even started yet.
I know. Well, we went to, New York and Japan and...
Europe,
Germany, France, England. But it's nice to be back in California, damn it.
Yeah. Now, I know you've been on the TV a lot lately. You were on the Conan O'Brien show last week.
That was a blast.
This week, you're going to be on Every Night with Carson Daly on his show. And tell us about your little friend on top of the piano over there. What's the story behind that? What's that deal?
Oh, that's Mr. Monkey.
That's Mr. Monkey? Why do we have a monkey head on our stage?
There's a remote control back here for him, too.
Hit it, Zubin.
Yeah, you can turn it on. I have that, actually.
You have this monkey?
I do, yeah. You can turn it on and it'll follow you as you walk across the stage. It's really freaky. Right? You go, what the?
Everyone needs a mascot.
So did you steal him from the set and now he's yours and you're just going to take him? You'll never do another show without a monkey?
No, yeah, Trey stole it. I didn't steal anything. Even if I did, I'd blame Trey anyway.
Sure. So
he bites the bullet every time.
I'll jump on the grenade.
All right, so let's talk about it. We're going to get to your questions because it is Breakfast with Green Day, and you guys are the fans, and you guys are the ones who are going to get to ask a bunch of questions here. But we might as well start with, did you ever think this record would get done? I mean, this is the one that, this is a big chunk of your life you put into making 21st Century Breakdown. Was there ever a time where you almost lost it or where you thought, wow, we're trying to do too much?
You know, I was telling someone a story last night about making the record and how, like, after their first year of being home after the American Idiot tour, it was good. It was just nice to be home and, like, hanging out. But then suddenly you start feeling like you're retired or something or, like, you're or unemployed. I'm like, well, I just walk around and just sort of this thing, like, you know, this specimen that walks around. And does, I don't do, oh, I mean, we're going to the studio every day. We're doing demos and writing songs and stuff like that. But I'm most excited right now just about, now that the record's out, now just go out and play, you know. It's like you know, last night we played for like 2 hours or something like that. And it was just like playing old songs, new songs, in between songs and all that stuff. So, yeah, I mean, I'm really happy that the record, you know, it took a long time to finish the record. So now it's on to the real fun stuff.
It seems like every time a band tries to make an album, it's the same. It seems like doubt that it'll ever get done, fear. I don't know what it is, but it seems like it's a tremendous amount of work to...
Never gets any easier, it's somewhat, what right. Some people tell us.
No, I mean, I don't know what other bands' experiences are, but, I mean, we work our asses off, and we just try to make sure... And we're very critical of what we're doing all the time and to make sure that we're putting out the absolute best thing we've ever done.
So. How do you know when you're done? Don't you feel like...
Butch Vig tells you, get out of the studio.
I've had it with you. Yeah. He's got another gig, right?
It's like sex, I guess, you know. It's like, how do you know when you're...
Grab a cigarette.
Yeah, so how do you know when you're done?
Exactly. So your tour starts July 3rd, I think, is that right?
In Seattle. Thank you very much.
Yeah. And we come to... Well, when do we play Los Angeles?
We're going to be in Canada for the 4th of July.
You're going to be...
Los Angeles is not in Canada.
August 20th.
It isn't?
August 25th, I think.
A.
August 25th at the Forum.
August 25th at the Forum.
Yes. And most of these people already have tickets.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. All right. We're just getting started. It's Breakfast with Green Day here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I believe the boys are going to be playing something else from the new record. Do I have that right? Yeah. More after this.
K-Rock.
Are you ready for breakfast?
Got me ready.
Oh, good. Hey, you know, there's only one thing. I forgot to ask you what you would like for breakfast.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
Having breakfast with Green Day.
We are back. It is Breakfast with Green Day. How about some more music?
Tito, you're an enemy. Well, God, I know the enemy, Roy.
Do you
Jimmy. How about that, people? Come on. Was that the best time you've ever heard that song done?
I know that it's Breakfast with Green Day. You're listening to Kevin and Bean. The guys are here with us at a super secret location and can now be revealed, by the way, as the Music Box at the Fonda Theater, which is a beautiful, beautiful room where you played a few nights ago. And by the way, why did you do a show like that one, for instance, when you obviously could play anywhere you want? Why are you still playing the tiny venues at this point?
Is this tiny? It's not that. It's not that small.
For a band that's coming to the Forum, yeah.
Yeah. I'll play anywhere and everywhere. I'm a rock and roll slut, man. I like playing anywhere from, you know, five people to... We only practiced like five times before we started playing shows. And so we were just saying, you know, like we were looking at each other like in a circle having band practice. It was like, all we're doing is sitting here looking at each other getting uglier. So, I mean, we should
no fun.
Let's go play. So then we played at this place called The Independent in San Francisco. And then DNA Lounge, you know, both of them for like 400 or 500 people. And
yeah.
The New Fox Theater in Oakland.
Do you guys prefer bigger or smaller? Do you like to look at the faces or do you never?
I like both.
Just glass
over. I go both ways.
Yeah, okay, good. That's what I've heard.
the song we just heard, Know Your Enemy, which was the first single, first new Green Day music in a long time. Is there an enemy? Is it as specific as that, or is it really more in a general sense you're writing about something bigger than that?
I don't know. I think it could be like just trying to rally yourself, you know, like your own personal revolution or something, but... It could be the powers that be. It could be Walmart. I don't know.
Interesting you would bring them up.
You know, it's just maintaining some sense of individuality. And I don't know. I kind of feel like there's been, you know, the past couple of years there's been a bit of revolution that's kind of happening just in America in general, just because now that we got the retard out of office, you know, and then...
Dick Cheney?
He's the smart one.
Oh, sorry.
But, and then now that we have this new...
Chocolate Jesus?
Yes.
Damn.
I don't even know how to respond to that.
See, he knows he's going to be quoted and stuff. It's not worth it for him.
All of a sudden, right?
Yeah. Well, went from retard to chocolate Jesus.
Well, let's talk about the bigger themes. And by the way, we will get right to your questions on Breakfast with Green Day.
I'd like to talk about Walmart since you brought it up. Let's talk about the fact did they come to you and say, change it, or we won't sell it, or was it that formal, or how did you... fight begin?
It was never really a fight. They just, they said, we won't put your record out in the stores because it's got this content on it, you know, and we were like, you know, whatever, just bad words or whatever. You know, and so it was like, well, I'm, you know, we're not going to change it. It's,
right.
It's just, it's, you know, you've got your principles and I've got mine and mine are more important than yours. So.
In this case.
It was, like,
was it just language? Is that was their only problem? Was the language on the
thing?
Or the ideas?
The language and, you know, I mean, there's even a parental advisory sticker on it. So it's just like, what's that?
Yes.
Yeah, what that guy said.
I feel that very strongly, too.
Yeah.
I don't know what that was.
So, they've become the biggest retailer in the country now.
And that's been a recent change, right? I mean, Walmart has become the leader now.
In music.
Right.
So it's like, you know, there's no Tower. There's no Virgin anymore. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a lot of, especially young kids are getting their music from there. And it's, I think, that, you know, they should take responsibility and, you know, let people, you know... have the creative freedom that they aspire to.
That's good for you guys. I don't know. I think it would be terrible for a band that's just trying to start and get noticed, and they can't avoid Walmart. I mean, you know, then they have to make a decision.
Yeah,
which way to go?
It's culture changing. That's the frightening thing about it. It's like if you're a young kid, you're a musician. That's what you want. You want personal freedom. You want to be self-made and be able to say the things that you want. But if your first experiences of buying records is that you're getting the censored version, then that sends like a really poor message to, you know, so, well, I guess I can't say what I want to say and I've got to, you know, I have to be careful all the time. And it's just, you know, that's...
For that matter, if you even know whether you're getting a censored version or not.
That's a good point. Yeah. That's a good point, because they might think that's the only version there is, too, by the way. But at least now, you talk about the culture change, at least now those kids that live in places where there's only a Walmart, at least they have the ability to buy it on iTunes and get your version. I mean, they don't have to buy the physical CD, at least.
Well, that was one reason why we said we weren't selling it in Walmart, to make sure that people knew that there are other places to be able to get the record.
Right,
you
yes.
know, it's like, you can get it on iTunes, and you can get it, you know, at Amoeba, and, you know.
Was there anyone who came to you from the record company or management or whatever that said... You have no idea how much this is going to hurt? I mean, was there a fear that you were going to lose some sales?
They were actually pretty supportive, believe it or not.
There you go.
You could still buy a shotgun at Walmart.
At Walmart. So. Shotgun and bullets.
We actually told them they could put our record with the guns.
There you go. Why do I feel like there's going to be a Walmart song on the next album? I don't know why. I just do.
This song's... How much I hate Walmart. It's called I Hate Walmart.
See, it's half written already. Yeah. All right. Do we need to take a quick break and come back with some more music and some questions from the crowd? How about that?
We'll do that when we come back. It's Breakfast with Green Day on K-Rock.
Try something new for breakfast.
It's Kevin and Bean's Breakfast with Green Day.
World famous K-Rock.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're back. It's Breakfast with Green Day on the Kevin and Bean Show. How about some more live music? Breakfast with Green Day on K-Rock.
So useless and I'm murdered, so desperate, but not helpless. What cuts out spin now that I'm murdered? I'm wide awake up to the riots. This demonstration of anguish. This empty love to that's all eaten. Like a bottle of your favorite poison. We are the last call and we're too pathetic. Desperate, but not hopeless. Like we're so useless in the murder center. Desperate, but not hopeless. The crush I've been lying in. Just one of them a cigarette. We've come so far, we've been so wasted. It's written all over our faces. We are the last call and we're super pathetic. And I'm murdered, desperate, but not helpless. What cuts out spin lying in the murdered, desperate, but not helpless. What cuts out useless and I'm murdered, desperate, but not helpless. What cuts out spin lying.
Oh, you sounded great.
That was a good one.
That was really good. Yeah. It is Breakfast with Green Day, and we've got some fans down here on the right with Dave, the King of Mexico. They're going to ask some questions of you guys, if you don't mind.
King, don't screw this up, man. This is Green Day. They're big time, all right?
Hey, guys.
All right.
I got Natalie from Corona.
If you could use only one word to describe each member of the band, what would that be?
Now, they describe themselves, or is each guy describing the other two guys?
Yeah, each guy describes.
Oh, you're trying to break up the band.
Larry, Curly, Mo.
Those are good words.
Crazy, sexy, cool.
That's not bad.
TLC.
Wise guy, huh? All right, not the answer you're looking for, but even better than the answer you were looking for. How about that? Who else do we have, King?
All right, I got Rachel from Pasadena.
Where did you get the characters Christian and Gloria?
The songs just kind of came out of nowhere. And it's all from personal experience. You know, one person is sort of the, Gloria is more of trying to hold the torch, and then the other, Christian is trying to burn everything down. So it just kind of comes from two different sides of a personality. Not schizophrenic, or anything like that.
Sounds good.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Not that
sorry.
I know of.
But did you,
talking to me.
Do you ever know a Gloria or a Christian that seems to inspire that? Or,
I mean, there's certain people that are inspired, but I've always loved the name Gloria, and Christian just kind of has that double meaning kind of name. You know, it's a nice Christian name.
Sure. Now, for folks who are confused, we're talking about the characters. There's a story that's told on 21st Century Breakdown, and you tell some of this from the point of view of those people on the record. And how do you know when you sit down to write a song, whether it's going to be a first-person song or a third-person song, or is that a dumb question?
No, it just kind of happens naturally. It's just part of the process of, you write your songs, and they're just all, personal experience, and then it just starts to transform, especially when we were sitting down, me and Micah Trey were, reading the lyrics, and kind of you could see different connections, and so you start to bring the characters in, it's way overthought. It's art.
Is it too much to say, when people say it's a rock opera, is that accurate, do you think? Or is that just that people are looking for a quick way to describe an album that the songs are so connected?
I don't know. I think it's operatic, and it's definitely dynamic. But, we also want to maintain that we love just playing rock and roll songs. You can drop this record on anywhere you want. It's not something where you're going to be you're going to put it on and there's going to be sort of this weird Emerson, Lake and Palmer part or whatever. You're going, what the hell is this weird keyboard solo? So nothing like that. So they're definitely a song like Murder City or a song like Know Your Enemy or East Jesus Nowhere. You can hear. They stand out as an individual tune, too.
Right. But yeah, and then there's a deeper meaning if you are paying attention and you want to connect the dots. You got a different story right there, too.
It's kind of nerdy, you can kind of find your own sort of hidden meanings and get a great tattoo.
I've heard you talk about how songs take on a life of their own. They somehow, once you write them, you just kind of follow where they go. How does that work, if that's not too deep a question?
I think a lot of time they end up speaking to each other.
The songs do.
The songs do.
Okay.
And, we had a lot of songs when we wrote this record. And, we had 18 songs on the record. So some of the songs started speaking thematically to one another. And that's where the Heroes and Cons act and the Charlatans and Saints and Horseshoes and Hand Grenades, all the three acts came together that way. And then in between those, you'll have songs that'll talk to the other acts. So it's really schizophrenic, like we were saying.
Yeah.
Smart people confuse me. I want to ask.
Me too.
we talked to Billy Joe on the Kevin and Bean show the week the record came out, and I got a chance to ask him this question. But I want to ask the other two guys because I want to hear your side of this. Does he ever lose you? When he comes to you and says, "Here's the idea," is it sometimes tough to all get going in the same direction as a band where everybody's got a powerful voice and a vote?
I think you just got to trust the process. If somebody's got an idea, you can't squish it at the beginning of the idea.
Well, actually, we sort of figure out the lyrical stuff later. We capture the energy and the vibe of the music first, I'd say, for Mike and I, and then kind of process what he's talking about later.
Right. You ever look at each other and go, "What the hell's going on here?"
All the time, dude.
We just know that there's some sanity in there somewhere.
Okay. All right. All right. We are going to...
No, not at all.
We are going to take take another break and come back with some more questions, some more live music from the band Green Day. By the way, I was talking to somebody earlier today when we were waiting for you to come up this morning, and I was saying how great it was this summer to have so many bands that have been with our station for so many years, bands like Rancid that are still out there doing it, and The Offspring was just on our show playing live last week, and I was thinking, it's got to be one of the hardest things in the world to keep a band together for so long. Billy Joe, I think you told me 21 years you guys are coming up on, right?
Yep.
We're 21 years as Green Day.
Yeah, 21 years. We officially hit the drinking age.
Yes. Again.
What's cool about that is, like, you know, we're, like, young kids growing up and playing punk rock, and it turns out, after all these years, we were right.
Who knew?
Well said. A quick break, we'll come back. We're only about halfway through, so there's plenty more to come. It's Breakfast with Green Day right after this. We've got more on the Kevin
and Frijole.
And Beans Breakfast with Green Day.
You're listening to the Kevin and Beans Show right smack dab in the middle of Breakfast with Green Day. Who wants some more live music?
Church of Westmore, Blake Hill, when today
It's Green Day and it's breakfast. Come on, people. Pretty cool.
Before we go out, back out to the crowd, that's one of those songs that had a lot of changes. East Jesus Nowhere didn't start out being called that. It was developed on the way, right?
I'm a little confused. I think a small child is Sig Heiling me right now.
Is that happening back there?
I think you're right.
That is a little troubling.
Hey, yeah. Little fighter. Oh. Now, say that again. What was the question?
East Jesus Nowhere ended up being called that. It started out as something else, had some traveling to get to that point?
Yeah, we had the title came. There's a part in Juno where Diablo Cody is Green Day fan. I saw her, she was wearing a Kerplunk shirt in a picture, and I was like, "Hey, that's pretty cool." So it was kind of it was kind of just a throw to her, I guess, a little bit, you know, like she had this one line that said, "East, you know, why are you going to East Jesus Nowhere?" They're somewhere in Minnesota in the movie, so it was kind of that's where we got.
How funny is that? That's awesome. All right, King of Mexico in the crowd here this morning. Breakfast with Green Day. We got some more fans. Who's up next, Dave?
Yeah, I got Ray from Van Nuys.
Hey guys, what's the best prank you guys have pulled on each other or someone else?
Ooh, pranks.
Ooh.
I once put a tree in the middle of Trey's hotel room.
Yeah, you did.
And then, nice.
And then toilet papered the room so much that we were literally hanging his shoes and cell phone and everything in the room from it.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
While I was out.
The tree, it took about five people. The tree weighed about 500 pounds.
Wow, that's a tree.
It was an action. It hit the roof and then spread out about 12 feet on each side.
Wow.
Nicely done.
Which hotel chain are you banned for life from?
Pretty much everywhere on the strip. Forget about it.
They're just now starting to let us back.
That's a pretty classic prank, though.
We grabbed a cow from a nearby field on tour one time and brought it into Billy's room one time. An actual cow.
For reals?
Yeah.
Ooh. How do you do that exactly?
Cows are pretty dumb. You ask them to.
You just pull them?
No animals were harmed in this prank.
Don't do this at home. Billy Joe, have you contributed to this nonsense?
Didn't I squirt Purell on your ass the other day?
Yes, you did.
But that was with love.
Yeah, that was love.
I guess I had a dirty butt.
Prank. I'm more of the compulsive liar type. I can, like, stretch out a story and get everybody going pretty good.
Yeah. And they believe you? And then you say?
Always. They always believe me.
Yeah. Nice.
All
it's
right.
Good that you abuse that trust. Here's a young man in a 21st century breakdown t-shirt. Way to suck up, dude.
It's Brandon from Van Nuys.
How's it going? It's the body paint guy from Tuesday.
Oh,
what's up?
Oh yeah, what's up, sexy?
I thought it was Fat Mike, just lost a lot of
that's
weight.
That's what I was
thinking. Fit Mike.
Well, anyway, I was wondering, will 21st century breakdown be turned into a play like American Idiot?
There's no plan for anything like that right now. There's going to be songs off 21st century breakdown used for the American Idiot. I can't remember right now, but it's those two right now. So
kind of.
Let's talk about that whole process. How does that go where you have an album that you wrote that means something, you guys put together, and now somebody wants to turn it into a stage show? What's that all about?
It's just,
and how much do you want to be involved in that?
We wrote all the music, so, I mean, and I don't know. I mean, this guy, Michael Mayer, he's a great director, and he's did Spring Awakening, and he's... he's really into it, and we saw workshops that they were doing. We had no idea what to expect at all. We were just like, you know, this is just so crazy, it just might work kind of situation. So we went in and saw it, I was blown away. It was awesome.
Is it going to be as good as Grease?
As good as Grease, not as good as West Side Story.
Better music, though.
Yeah.
All right, one more question.
I got Chelsea from Brea.
Hi, guys. This is really exciting.
Hold on a sec. Dave, why are you so angry with Chelsea? She just showed up to ask a question.
He hates Brea.
I don't know.
Hi, guys. I was wondering, what are some of your favorite songs to cover?
We do the Midwest Melody, or
Midwest
Medley.
Medley's pretty good.
Yeah. Is that the, which one is that? Is that the one that Springsteen does with the Mitch Ryder songs and stuff, or what are you talking about?
No, different. It goes from...
Cheap Chicks, Surrender, and Bastards of Young by Replacements.
Nice.
Yeah.
You guys don't do a lot of cover songs in concert, do you?
We have. We can play 15 seconds of any cover.
Okay.
So it's a... I don't know. What have we done?
Quick one.
Sometimes when you get really... When you're really drunk, which happens frequently, but it was... My generation.
Do a quick one.
By The Who.
That's right. And you did Working Class Hero, of course. That was great.
Working Class Hero. We did Another State of Mind by Social Distortion.
And we did
Dancing Queen by ABBA.
Dancing Queen by ABBA.
Right.
And
did you play a lot of covers in the early days? Was there ever a period where you started out like that, like so many bands do, or were you able to start doing your own stuff?
That's actually pretty hard to play other people's music.
Yeah. Is it?
It would seem like it would be easier than coming up with your own, though. I mean,
well,
from a person.
You always
have this like a picture in your head of what they play it like.
Right.
And you only have a picture in your head of what you play your own music like.
All right, here's a question.
Make any sense at all?
It did. No, I know what you're saying, yeah. Here's a question. It's the flip side of that. There have been a fair number of Green Day covers over the years. Are there any in particular that you've heard from other people that you like? Like, I just heard Glenn Campbell doing Time of Your Life the other night,
yeah,
for instance.
Yeah.
I saw him on TV.
Really? I have not heard his version yet.
It's good. It's good.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
Are there any that you have heard people doing your music that you've been impressed?
Weezer did a good cover.
Who did?
Weezer?
Well, there's this kid on YouTube who's like 7 years old who plays the guitar and sings Jesus of Suburbia from front to back.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah,
seven?
It's pretty awesome.
What's
it's
his
on
name?
YouTube.
How do you search for that? Just the name of the
Japanese schoolboy.
Japanese schoolboy. Okay.
He's seven. That's awesome.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, you have to see that. That's a good one.
Is anyone else concerned that Trey's on a lot of Japanese schoolboy sites? I mean, what's up with that? Just happen to come across it?
Yeah, we stumbled on that one.
All right. Great question. Who's next, King?
I got Leo from Montebello.
Hey, Leo.
What's up, fellas? I was wondering where each of you stand on the legalization of marijuana.
Well, if you smoke enough marijuana, you won't be standing at all.
That's a good point.
It's kind of a funny line. I kind of think some things are a lot funner when they are illegal. But I think that decriminalization would definitely help us in our prisons.
Yep. Legalize it.
You know, it's interesting that he asked a kind of a policy question there. You guys got a lot of press over American Idiot being a political record. Are you involved at all in politics? Do you guys ever stump for candidates or do any work like that? Or even causes for that matter?
Run for Senate yourselves?
It's kind of a fine... No. It's kind of a fine line. It's where you want to be supportive of, but at the same time, you just want to be like a citizen, you know, and not get too... the last election, there became a lot of like grandstanding and soapboxes out there for which was great, but it seemed like more like an opening of an envelope that it became like, it was like every like movie star and musician out there was going Obama. It's like duh,
But yeah, if you're too supportive, and you next thing you know you jump on the team and you can lose your objective point of view.
Mm-hmm.
I actually just read this morning that Chris Novoselic is running for city council
in
some crazy town up in...
Is that right?
Yeah, weird. Washington or
That's all they have in Washington, by the way, is crazy town.
Hey, wait a second here. Hold on a second here. So. All right, do we need to take a break, come back with some more live music?
Let's do that.
You guys having a good time, by the way? How about Green Day here in the middle of the goddamn night? How about rock stars showing up this early for this, huh? All right, we'll take a break and come back with more right after this. Breakfast with Green Day is on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
Start your morning off green. It's Breakfast with Green Day.
We are live. How about another one from Green Day?
Tragedy, tragedy, oh,
With Green Day. That was fantastic, guys. Thank you very much.
We are hearing a lot of songs from 21st Century Breakdown, which is the latest album from Green Day that's available everywhere. Tickets went on sale this weekend for your show coming up at the Forum on August the 25th. And big old U.S. tour, and then back out for the rest of the world? You're going to be heading back over there? I know you did promotion already, but now shows?
Yeah, we're going all over.
How long are you going to be away? I mean, when you go out on a tour, a major tour, is it a year deal? Is it a year and a half deal?
It's like anywhere between a year and a half to 2 years out of your life.
You just kiss the kids goodbye and say, see it after high school?
Well, you come home for a period of time, then you leave, and you know. But, I mean, I was just home, you know, being, house dad and stuff like that for a long, you know. That's sort of the difference. It's like when we're home there all the time, 3 years straight. So it's, now we go, my kids now are like, Dad, get the hell out of here.
Yeah. Let me ask you this before we go back out to the crowd here. You guys are, I think you have to agree, you're one of the biggest rock bands in the world today. Yet, when you decide, no, I'm serious, but when you decide that you're off, you're really off, and people don't find you, and they don't see you, and they don't hear about you, and you really are able to be under the radar. A lot of people can't do that. Is it difficult to stay anonymous and have a personal life when you have such a high-profile job?
Well, I mean, I think what happens to a lot of people is they get addicted to being famous or something, and then there is no personal life. And then, I mean, I'm not going to name any names, but, you know, there's a lot of people you would like to see go away for a while.
Permanently.
Mm-hmm. You know, so it's, who said, what did you say?
Britney Spears, what else?
Oh, God. Poor thing.
That poor dear.
Poor dear. Britney. No, but, you know, it's just, we just go home. And I like being known for my music, but doing other stuff, like, it's just important to have a personal life. And, you know, it's not
me, man. I'm going to get into Twittering when I'm taking a...
Yes. I'm signing up now.
Mike would be like, one wipe. Awesome. OMG.
I just had a Houdini. It was awesome.
Talking to Kevin and Bean.
Do you guys do any of the face page and the twit space and all that stuff? Are you doing any of that or no?
Nah.
So I can go on and be Billy Joel if I want to be.
There's many of them from what I hear.
Oh, are there? Yeah, a lot of people. All right. Yeah. All right. The beautiful thing about the Breakfast With series on the Kevin and Bean Show is a big band, tiny place, and you get to ask the questions. King of Mexico is in the audience with a microphone. Who's next for us?
Michelle from Van Nuys.
Will you guys ever put songs out for Rock Band, for Xbox?
Yeah, we're doing a whole Green Day Rock Band.
We have not heard that before.
It's exclusive here on Kevin and Frijoles.
When is that going to happen?
I'm not sure. Soon. Like, I think soon.
Like this week soon or this
week,
year
like
soon?
This year soon. Okay. I think by the end of the year, something like that.
So. Now, how are you guys at playing other people's music on Rock Band?
Who, I can't play those Rock Band drums at all.
Really?
I'd suck at that.
I'm terrible at it. Terrible.
Yeah, I've given it my best shot, but if you're born any time before 1985, you're going to suck.
Well, we had a lot of guys tell us. Wasn't it Tom Morello, Kevin, who was telling you that there's just no upside in playing on Rock Band?
Because I was trying to challenge Tom Morello, and he's like, what's in it for me? I'm not going to... I'll lose to you at Rock Band, so what? I'd do the real thing.
Yeah. Right, exactly. I'm much better at Tuba Hero.
That is great news about the Rock Band. We had not heard that yet. That was a great question, too. Dave, who's next for us now?
Guys, I got Jimmy from Ontario.
So what was it like going from, like, riding in a van everywhere and now, like, taking over the world?
Do you know what he means?
Sum this up in the 21-year time span.
I kind of feel like we've always felt like we were taking over the world, even in a van.
Yeah. Just people didn't know it yet?
Well, I don't know. You know, when you're traveling around in a van for the first time, different places, you feel like every time you put your foot in a new state, you've conquered something.
Yeah.
That's nice not driving.
Yeah, yeah, sure. Yeah.
Yes, it's very nice when Trey's not driving.
Were there some classic Rock Band stories of the worst gigs, the worst food, the worst accommodations, the worst band, just a miserable year where you just went out there and you just had to do it to pay your dues?
I was never, I mean, I think we were just so excited. I think excitement always took it over. I mean, we toured once in a Dodge Omni. And then we toured, we toured Europe. On borrowed equipment with every night our amps blew up the first day. That was our first trip to Europe, and but it's always been fun. It's always been an experience. You know, it was kind of like, just education.
Yeah, yeah. Are there some days in the life of Green Day that you look back on as being milestones? As well, I'll never forget Woodstock, or never forget the first time this happened, or when we went there, or whatever.
You know, I think it's stuff like when you like. You know, we played 21st Century Breakdown in its entirety, for like four nights in the Bay Area. And then we did like American Idiot. It's interesting because like we did American Idiot. We played the record in its entirety before it came out here for the first time. And then, you know, now we're doing 21st Century Breakdown here at the end of this sort of promo run or whatever, but it was so it's just kind of like it comes full circle, you know.
That must be one of the best parts of your job is when you finally get to unveil something you've worked so hard and get a reaction from people.
Yeah, and it makes you feel like you're a brand new band again, too, because you're playing songs and people are kind of like looking at you like, wow, I haven't heard this ditty before. You know? So there's no one actually singing along, so you're not, it's like you can't rely on your older material yet, you know, so it's great.
Do people use the word ditty?
Diddy, no,
except for Diddy.
Except for Diddy.
Except for Diddy. I don't think so. Yes, Dave, who else do we have?
Guys, this is Leticia from Rialto.
My question is, after so many years of writing music, how do you continue to get ideas for your songs?
I have to feel like you run out at times and there's just nothing there. Don't you?
Oh, yeah. You definitely get blocked, you know. It's just those moments, you know, you just get inspired for different ways, you know. It's like this last time I taught myself how to play piano and started kind of, it changed up my writing a lot. And, just always kind of keeping an open mind, an open ear. And I think it's really best when we're sort of kind of riffing off each other, you know, me and Mike and Trey. So it's that's when like we can kind of build some kind of synergy between us and the songs start coming a lot faster.
It seems like there are a lot of lawsuits where people say this band stole my idea, whatever. But and I know I don't really have musical talent. And if I tried to write something, I would go, oh, that's something I heard 2 years ago. Oh, that's 3 years ago. Does that happen where you write something and you go, that's too much like something else. We need to change it up? Or
yeah, you have to. There's that fine line between being inspired and then going, oh, that's not mine.
Right,
you know,
so right.
It's like, but then you just change it up and then, you know, it's like.
No wonder it's so good. It's a Zeppelin song.
Yeah. I didn't know I was Jimmy Page.
Hey, I know what I wanted to ask you guys. Explain for me, if you can, the mindset behind the alter ego bands, whether it's Network or Foxborough or something like that. Where does that come from? What does it do for you that you can't do as Green Day?
The Network?
I cannot.
What are you implying? Are you implying that we are the Network?
Not at all. No.
Okay,
that would be a state secret. I could not reveal.
I cannot confirm or deny anything about the network.
I heard wine was behind the Foxborough.
Yeah.
That was all wine.
I think with the hot tubs, it was just it's just moments of inspiration, you know. And sometimes it's nice just to, I don't know, just to play other stuff. I think we have a lot of different music in us, you know, that's a lot of it won't make a Green Day record. And it's nice just to, I don't know, bang that stuff out of our head and purge the line.
Does it, so to speak,
blue ribbon?
does it ever scare you that you're doing stuff like that, or that it's not a very well kept secret, or that, I mean, do you care about that kind of stuff? Because that was not a very well kept secret.
We never intended for Foxborough to be a secret. I mean, that was just, I think the first time we told anybody was that we got Green Day got nominated for a Grammy, so we posted. On our website that it was like so-and-so nominated, so-and-so, you know, for whatever the category was, and then it said we wrote Foxborough Hot Tubs, now Stop, Drop, and Roll. And everyone's like, who the hell is a Fox? You know, so kids look for it, and the website was there, and you can listen to it, and you could download it for free. And it was, it's just fun. It was like, you know, it's like the, you know, it's, I never drank so much PBR in my life.
PBR.
Yeah.
Tall boys?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I hear the hot tubs may make a surprise appearance on the Carson Daly Show this week, as a matter of fact. I hear that may happen.
That may happen. Maybe Friday.
All right.
So are you saying maybe Friday?
That's how those well-kept secrets get kept right there.
That's right.
Friday,
all right.
Maybe.
We need to take a break. Hey, guys, can we request one of the older songs maybe when we return? Would you get some room for that? Maybe some 20th century breakdown when we come back. How about that?
That's right. Okay.
All right. It's Breakfast with Green Day. We'll be right back right after this on the Kevin and Bean.
Kevin and Beans. Breakfast with Green Day.
We are back. It is Breakfast with Green Day. How about some more music?
Under darker bridges around the face in the crowd, a song against the mold. Without a doubt, single doubt, the only way I know.
to breakfast. Interesting thing, and it really is breakfast time right now. Say a one, a two, a one, two, three, go! All right, this is it. Now this is your opportunity. Everyone has to jump when we kick back into it. Are you ready? Not yet. One light, one mind, flashing in the dark, blinded by the...
Breakfast with Green Day on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. By the way, I would like to take a chance to say thank you to you guys, because obviously you don't have to do this. And so, we're always...
You're welcome, America.
We're always grateful when bands take time out. I know you have a busy schedule, and, you know, it's a lot for you guys to do, so thank
you
very
much. Don't listen to them. They've been threatening us for years.
Yeah, that's true. If I could add to that, it's also a lot of fun for Kevin and me when we get a chance to talk to people who are articulate and intelligent, too, which is not universal in the world of rock and roll. So we appreciate that from you guys as well.
Wow. Thanks. I've never been called either one of those.
How about Breakfast with Green Day, ladies and gentlemen? They were fantastic, weren't they? August 25th is where they're going to be at the Forum, and I don't know when we'll see these guys again, but great to catch up with you. We really appreciate
being
here today. Thank you so much. Yep. Green Day, everybody.